That's such a good word, isn't it? Thanks, Dan, for sharing your thoughts and sharing your life. Now, you know, as I mentioned in the interview, not everybody is as bold as Stan. Stan's one of those guys, he can just go up to people and start conversations. And sometimes the people react, you know, in a positive way, sometimes not. Most of us need relationship, but we also need people like Stan. And we need to have the same passion. Because you see, God loves our city. Last week we talked about loving people, but there's a broader mission that God has for us. City, state, nation, world. And that's why we do so much for missions. And when we say missions, we mean foreign missions typically. A lot of local things as well, or national things. But there's more than just giving money. It's just having a passion for lost people everywhere. When we read the news about countries going through turmoil, famine, terrorism, abuses, does our heart ache? Because God's does. God's heart aches for all people in all places. And we need to have that burden. Whether or not we'll go to all those places around the world is a different conversation. But do we have the passion to love our city, to love the bigger picture? And we need that. I so appreciate Stan's words of that he wants people to come to salvation because they just don't know they're lost. And they need to know that. Today I want to talk about loving our city. And really what this teaching is more about learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit. That God, as I love the way Stan put it, has divine appointments. That God has an appointment book and he writes an appointment. He says, I want you to meet this one today. And we don't even know who they are. Or maybe we know who they are, but don't know there's going to be a conversation today about the Lord. The Holy Spirit will lead us. The Holy Spirit will guide us. We're going to spend our time in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that's our topic verse today. But I want to give you a little bit of background of where that verse comes from. Those words in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 are Jesus's last recorded words before he ascends into heaven. So what's happening is this, that Jesus has suffered the horrible yet wonderful experience of his sacrifice and redemption on the cross. And then, of course, 3 days later, he rises from the dead and he begins to show himself to people, to the disciples. He showed himself to as many as 500 people at one time after his resurrection. He walked the earth after he resurrected from the dead for 40 days. And then he ascended back up into heaven. There was a 10-day time when the disciples prayed and waited for Jesus to send this comforter he promised. And then on the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, Pentecost is a celebration day 50 days after the Passover. And then the Holy Spirit came and baptized them in the Holy Spirit. Well, on one occasion when Jesus was with those disciples, he said that I'm going to send this one that I have promised. And I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Wait for him. I'm going to send him. Wait there. And when he said that, the disciples got really excited. Jesus said, but John baptized you with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they got excited when they heard that. They're hearing power. They're hearing influence. They're hearing through the ears of Jewish people. Remember, these disciples are Jews. And their history tells them that there will be a coming Messiah that will return Israel's glory like it was back in the days of King David and King Solomon. And they've been waiting for that day. And when Jesus died on the cross, it was as if not only their relational hopes died, but their national hopes died. For they certainly didn't truly understand everything about the kingdom. And so when Jesus said, there's one coming that's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, They got excited. They're thinking, oh man, here it is. We've been waiting for it. And they respond with, Lord, is it now the time when you're going to restore the nation of Israel? Obviously revealing that they still didn't quite understand Jesus' whole work and the kingdom of God. They thought, we can't lose with this guy. They tried to kill him, and they couldn't kill him. He raises from the dead. We've got a no-lose situation here. Certainly now, Israel is going to be restored to power. And Jesus said, no, that's not what we're going to do here. At least not yet. And we know from prophecy that there'll be a day when Israel will return to its Savior, to its Lord. Not like the days of Solomon, but a different and better kingdom. The kingdom of God, not a kingdom of this earth. And so he said, no, these times and these days are not for you right now. But, and here's where he gives them this word, but you will receive power. I'm not going to give you power. I'm not going to give you, as a nation, power to rule over the Romans. I'm not going to give you power to control people's lives. I'm not going to give you legislative power or governmental power. I'm not going to give you power, but I'm going to give you power. A different power, a greater power, a more influential power, an eternal power, a life-changing power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I'm not going to give you power, but I'm going to give you power. Not earthly power, kingdom power. Not power of man, power of God. Not power that lasts for the days on earth, but a power that will last for eternity. I'm going to give you power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He's going to give us power. Would you say that verse with me again? Even say it out loud. Claim it for your own. We can just say these words. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Maybe let's say it again and then replace the word you with I. But I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and I will be his witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice this is a partnership here. God, is a time when this is what you're going to do, and God says, yes, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it through you. What I'm going to do is through you. You. God's always working that way. When God speaks to us as his church, it's always I, you. We need that cooperation with him today. You see, the focus is on you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. God is saying, I, you. Let's look at this verse and pull it apart this morning so we can understand more about this Holy Spirit, God in us, so that we can fulfill his IU blessing in our lives. The first part of that verse, number one, you will receive power. You will receive power. I remember it was a number of years ago, right here in the sanctuary, we had a prayer meeting and I was pacing back in front, back and forth in front of the platform. I'm a pacer. I don't know about you. When I kneel and pray quite often, I'm asleep within about 10 seconds. So I pace, I keep myself awake and I'm pacing and we're praying for our city that particular night. We're praying for God to touch the city and I'm praying and my heart was pure. My heart was, I wasn't praying for any glory for abundant life or any glory for myself. I just was praying for people. And I was praying these words, God, save the city. God, will you come down and touch the city? God, by your power, would you touch people's lives? God, will you? And I'm praying, God, will you, will you, will you? And as I've described many times, God and I don't necessarily have conversations, but God breaks in when I'm talking to him sometimes, and he just stops me in my tracks. And like a bullet right to my soul, he says, why do you keep asking me to do something I've already asked you to do? And that just was like hitting a brick wall. Why do you keep asking me, God, save souls, God, touch the people, God, reach the people? I've asked you to do that. I will give you power. You will be my witnesses. I will baptize you. You will be empowered. I will fill you. You're to go. And I was convicted because, as he always is, he was right. He was the one who would empower me. And then I would be able to do what he asked me to do. And quite honestly, I'd been a bit lax. You see, God will do what only God can do. But he will not do what he's told us to do. Let me say that again. God will do what only God can do. Only God saves souls. Only God transforms a life. Only God supernaturally heals. Only God can be the comforter, the guide, the convictor. Only God can do those supernatural things. But he will not do what he's told us to do. Go and be my witness. Love people. Touch people. Share with people. I will fill you with power. You go. These words are echoed in Jesus' statement to the disciples in Matthew chapter 16 when he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I will build my church. You will have the keys. God will build his church and it will not fail. Isn't that comforting right now? Right now, during this whole thing, people are railing and crying and frustrated. And, oh, what about the church? Oh, the church is being persecuted. Oh, what about the church? Isn't going to lose anything. The church isn't going to crumble. The church isn't going to die. The church isn't going to fail. The church isn't going to be overrun. He will build his church. He's doing that. And he will not fail in building his church. But he's giving us the keys so that we can minister what he's told us to do. You will receive to come into possession of something. You'll receive power, controlling influence in a supernatural way. Do you believe you have that today? Do you believe you have received taking possession of God's controlling influence in a supernatural way? I think a lot of times we as Christians, we don't walk in power because we really don't expect power. We're a little bit insecure. We're a little bit uncertain. We're a little bit, oh, God is great, but oh, I'm just kind of nothing. I'm just kind of shy and intimidated and insecure and, you know. And no, hey, you've got power. You might want to say that right now. I've got power. I have the authority of God. I have received power by the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's ours. It's our possession. My former pastor here at Abundant Life, when I was hired back in 85, he used to say this phrase. Leonard Couchman used to say this. He whom God chooses, he uses and infuses. And Leonard always liked the turns of phrases and rhymes and stuff like that. But this one stuck in my mind. I'm chosen by God. And if I'm chosen by God, God's going to use me. And if God's going to use me, he's going to infuse me with his power. Therefore, I've got authority. Like the Apostle Paul, when he was in the ship, and the ship was in the storm heading to Rome, and everything was going crazy, and nobody knew what to do, and they were going to throw him overboard. And he said, listen, I'm taking charge right now. I've got authority. He said, don't you throw anything overboard. Don't you jump. You stay right here. Everybody's going to be saved. And they were. Christian, you've got power. God has given you that supernatural influence. And Jesus said, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. What is the key to the kingdom? Well, Peter just said the key of the kingdom just before Jesus' statement. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the key to the kingdom. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know that. And where is that Christ today? He's in us by the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn more about that in point two. That's the key. And the keys are used to bind and to loose, to lock and to unlock. And many want to run rampant with these words and manipulate them and run around trying to find demons under every rock. But listen, to bind means to tie or to compel or to imprison. Listen, binding is sometimes good. When I'm fastened to the truth, when I'm locked in a safe place, when I am bound to a commitment or to a conviction on earth as it is in heaven, I'm bound to the truth of God. I'm bound to His love. I want to see more people bound to the love of Christ, the person of Christ. And yes, of course, there is influence and power over demonic authorities that we can bind spirits as well. But let's bring a balance to this thing so we understand it. And to loose means to untie, to release, or to permit. How many people need to be loosed to live a life of freedom, to be permitted to live a life not for themselves but to God, and therefore find out where the real abundant life is? For to live a life to please ourselves is this deceptive bondage, and to loose them to live a life of freedom. You will receive power. What kind of power is this? Well, let me remind us, it's not a what kind of power, it's a who power. Number two, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit. The power is a who, not a what. I love Stan's words when he talked about divine appointments in that clip. I loved his description when he said, you know, each morning I get up and I pray, God, show me. God, show me someone to talk to today. You've got someone prepared. You've been working on someone that I don't even know. Or if I know them, I don't know you're working on them. God, show me who it is you want to talk to me, that you want me to talk to today. That's what the Holy Spirit does. How many of us spend time getting up in the morning and saying, God, show me today. Lead me today. Guide me today. That's where we get this phrase, being led by the Spirit. The Spirit already knows. The Spirit's ahead of us. The Spirit's doing things we're not aware of. And as we submit to the Spirit, He'll guide us. He'll lead us. He'll show us the way. He'll show us the truth. He'll convict us when we get off track. He'll bring us back around. That's being led by the Spirit. And that's the power. The power to be His witness. The power to walk in the way He asked us to walk. Daily. Finding out where the Spirit is already working. And when that's the case, it's a no-lose situation. God's already doing it. We're submitting to Him. And He's putting all the pieces together. In John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17, it says this. And I will send you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Do you see you again? I will send a comforter. He's going to be in you. He's going to lead you, guide you, direct you, lead you into all truth. The world doesn't know Him. You know Him. He's going to be in you. You. Jesus was with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. When you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came into your life. John chapter 8, verse 9 says that. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ is not of Christ. So some get a little bit nervous thinking, oh, if I've not, you know, been baptized in the Spirit, I don't have the Spirit. Yes, you do. Jesus bestowed the Spirit on them in John chapter 21 when He visited them after His resurrection. And He said He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then later on, there was this great baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, for John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but one coming after me will baptize you with fire and with power. John the Baptist prophesied this time. You see, when you got saved, you confessed Jesus and an internal confession, an internal desire. And then you're baptized in water as a public outward display. In the same way, when you accepted Jesus, the Holy Spirit came into your life. And then there's a subsequent baptism for the external demonstration of power. That's God's design for us. That's God's gift for us. I was baptized in the Spirit as a little boy. I didn't really understand that's what was happening. But I remember in my dad's church having altar times and going down and just praying. For me, it felt like an eternity. Literally, it probably was only, you know, minutes. But boy, I was sure passionate. I remember those passionate moments. Being a 7, 8, 9-year-old kid, just wanting Jesus, wanting Him and wanting more. And just crying out to Him and enjoying His presence. But then as time went by, began to learn that there are abuses with this kind of supernatural thing. And some of those abuses were things that I experienced, manipulations and overzealous people who really got off track and got more interested in the demonstration of the Spirit than the Spirit Himself. I remember one particular time having a person coming alongside me, and I was an early teenager, and getting up into my ear and saying, just repeat after me. And he began to speak in tongues, and I'm kind of nervous and scared, and I just repeated whatever, mostly out of fear and out of intimidation. And, you know, he celebrated, oh, you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You spoke in tongues. Oh. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I didn't do anything. I don't know what you're talking about, but I just was kind of nervous and just mimicked you. A lot of stuff like that occurred. Well, it was later on, still, I wrestled with this for years. I think it was my junior year in Bible school. Still wrestling with the whole idea of Holy Spirit baptism. And one night at midnight, at Bethany's Chapel in Santa Cruz Mountains, went by myself. Said, God, I just want more of you. I just want more. I don't know what more means. And at that moment, I wasn't seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was just seeking Him and wanting more. And during that time of seeking, the authenticity of you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll be my witnesses with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That occurred. And it was beautiful, and it was true, and it was authentic in that moment. And there was no desire for some external gifting or external experience. It was just, Jesus, I want more of you. That's the authenticity that Jesus created in Acts chapter 1, where He said, just go and wait for me. And they didn't know what to expect. They had any idea what was going to happen. All they knew is Jesus said, wait, and we're going to wait, and we're going to pray, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to let God take care of the rest. And you know what? God took care of the rest. Because that's what He always does when His people are faithful. And what He sent was the Comforter that John 14 promised, John 15 and John 16 promised. This one called the Paraclete. The Paraclete is a Comforter. When Jesus says it, it's one just like me, called alongside to help. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, He is just like Jesus. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, think Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. The difference is that Jesus in His flesh was confined to one place on earth at one time, where the Holy Spirit can be in all of us everywhere all at the same time. Not just with us, but in us. One called alongside to help. He is the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit. You have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father is the sovereign God. Son is the access to the Father, the gateway through the cross. The Holy Spirit is the enabler, the empowerer to function with that God. The Godhead, the triune God, all equal, but yet functioning in different ways. The Father has a name. Jesus has a name. The Holy Spirit has a description. He seeks to always point back through the gate of Jesus to the Father. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. And he's designed, his work is to change us. He wants to change you. If you're here today saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to change. Well, then you're in the wrong place. Because he's going to change you. Not an alteration. An alteration is a limited change that flows out of the past, like altering a garment. Same garment, we're just going to hem it up a little bit. We're going to improve it a little bit. No, God didn't come. The Spirit doesn't come in you to improve you. That's alteration. Well, transformation, that's a good word. Transformation means a radical change, but without rejecting the past. Thinking like a paradigm shift. The Holy Spirit does not come into us to, in a sense, transform us. Yes, there is transformative power, but the word transformation is locked into still having the substance of the past. You're still you, but I'm going to just change you a little bit. Where instead, he's after conversion. Conversion. A pendulum swing from one think to another. Rejection of the past, adopting something completely new. Like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the old is gone, the new has come. You're a new creation. You're converted. That's what the Holy Spirit is after. To convert us. To give us power, that we can walk in that power. We're converted from fearful to bold, from nervous to confident, from uncertain to rock solid. Just like the disciples, fearful and ran away at the cross, hid behind doors for fear of the Romans. And then when Jesus baptized them in the Holy Spirit, then they were as bold as lions. They didn't care if they were thrown in prison, if they were beaten. They were going to speak the truth. Conversion. Complete change. And when that happened, the beauty of this power enveloped them, and they were different people. You will receive power when the blessed Holy Spirit comes on you. And number three, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. Always cooperation. The Spirit will give you new desire, new energy, new awareness, new boldness. And you know, a lot of people think, oh man, you mean I'm going to have to go start doing street witnessing like Stan? I'm going to have to go out on street corner. Are you serious right now? No, not necessarily. There's so many different ways to witness. Look at this, what it says, what Paul teaches in 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. He says this, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. Interesting, right? So now, here's what our temptation is. Those that are the bold, you know, stand type people are going to go, oh, you got to be out and you got to just witness and preach and get on the streets and do that. And that's good. And there are others that are the shyer ones. They say, no, you got to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business and just let your lifestyle be the witness. And that's the way to do it. And really the truth is both and everything in between. That God has made his church beautiful in its differences. And he'll use all of us in our design. I'm not a real great confronter like Stan is. My witness is more so in my lifestyle and in my speaking in relationship. And as I've talked to more and more folks here at Abundant Life, there's a fairly wide display. Now, I'm willing to speak to anybody when the opportunity arises. I'm not afraid to do that. But to say in my mind, okay, today I think I'm going to go walk around the mall and I'm just going to accost people. You know, that's not usually my style. Now, for other people, they do that and there's nothing wrong with it. But the power to be witness, I'm trying to bring out this point, that it's not pigeonholed. You're not locked into a singular way of doing it. God has designed us, given us gifting, given us personality, given us temperaments in order to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's what God is going to do as he uses us. There's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. There's a time to live by an example, and there's a time to preach. There's a time to bring friendship without Jesus' name because people aren't ready. And then there's a time when Jesus' name needs to be planted. Therefore, cultivate, plant, water, harvest. There's no salvation without Jesus, so we can't just walk around hoping somebody recognizes that we're people of Christ. There's a time for Jesus' name. And there's a time to be friends. There's a time to water and to walk alongside. And then a time to ask the question, would you like to know your Maker, the King of Kings that died for you? Jesus said this in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I have authority, so go. I am commanding you, so go. I will be with you always while you go. Every disciple didn't go to all nations at that moment. But as a collective, they covered the earth. Peter went to the Jews. Paul went to the Gentiles. Philip went to the Ethiopian. And the others spread all over the place. And then when the church grew in Acts chapter 9 and persecution came, they scattered even more. And the gospel filled the earth. And today, the gospel is still filling the earth. That's why we give so much money, because we want to fill the earth. Some go, some send. Some go for a short time and then send for other time. The fact of the matter is this, we're all witnesses. Because he has given us power. He has given us his Holy Spirit. Therefore, this is our mandate. He's given us authority, the power to act in a sphere or domain. Do you know you have authority? You are a son and daughter of the living God. You have authority. Go means to travel or behave. How do we behave each and every day? Are there neighbors, coworkers, friends, family, or even asking for divine appointments every day so that we can behave as witnesses? And he says, and I am with you always. In the original language, it's not the I am that I am, but it means I exist. And I am is with you always. Because I am is in you. He's the Holy Spirit. There is nothing impossible with I am. There is nothing too hard for I am. There is nothing too great for I am. And I am is in you. He's the Holy Spirit. As I wrap up right now, here's what I know. That there's a lot of folks that have been leery of the Holy Spirit. And the words that I use about baptism, Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, so on. And I've purposely not gotten into the weeds about speaking in tongues and how that works and all the scriptures and all the stuff. I've purposely not done that. Because I know there's lots and lots of, yeah, but. Here's what I know. When you authentically and with purity in heart turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want you and I want all of you. And we need not be concerned about all that other distracting stuff. The Lord Jesus will meet you. I love my mother's testimony, where as a teenage girl, at an altar time similar to the ones I described to you as a young boy, but for her as a teenage girl, being so passionate for God and just wanting more of Jesus. And I love her stubbornness. If you know my mom, she's a sweet person, but she's stubborn. And at that altar of prayer, she turned to her Lord and said, God, I'm not getting up from here until I receive everything you have to give to me. And I hear the voice of Jacob from Genesis echoing in my mind when he said, when he wrestled with God, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And it was there that she lingered and battled, not battled with God, but battling with her own flesh and battling with wanting more. And I want more and I want more. And I'm not going to let you go. And that was the night for the Holy Spirit to come upon her life. And if you know her today, there's not an opportunity that she misses to share Jesus' love. See, that's all really we need to know today. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. For now, don't worry about all the other stuff. Don't worry about it all. Just say, God, I want you, and I want all of you. If you make that your daily prayer, here's what I can definitely guarantee. God's going to come, and God's going to meet you. May not be in the first day, may not be in the 10th day, like the disciples in Acts chapter 1, but he's going to come, and he's going to meet you. For he said that if you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And it's not that he's hiding. It's he's waiting for us to get to that place where he can then come on us and endue us with power. You might want to pray something like this. Lord, I love you and I want your heart for lost people. I invite your Holy Spirit to come on me so I can fulfill your command to be your witness and make disciples. I want your power and authority to influence the people you died for. I submit to you in everything, and I am willing to go and do whatever you ask of me. That's a good prayer. You can change the words, you can do what you want, but pray that desire for Jesus and the desire for his heart, and he'll meet you. He'll meet you. Church, we need this. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit to direct us, to guide us, to show us. So many times we just wing it. So many times we get distracted with the things of the day. And we miss what God has for us. Today it's his desire for us to press in so that he can fill us. So that he can say, I have a partner that I can fill and use. Let me pray for us today and we'll close. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you'll touch every person listening today. There may be those that don't know you as their Savior, that have not yet received the blessedness of your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name that you would draw them right now. Draw them by your convicting power, that they might today submit and say, I need Jesus. And if they do, you're right there, so close to rescue them from themselves and their sin. For others that know you as their Savior, they may have been distracted by so many things, distracted by life, by busyness, by fear, by insecurity, by so many things, God. And I pray in Jesus' name, you would help them to daily seek you, daily cry out to you, that they might be filled with your Spirit, baptized in your Spirit, and filled with power, because the world needs the church. We truly are the only hope for the world. It's you. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you fill the Abundant Life people with your power. Convict us, Lord, to seek you more deeply. We thank you, God, for your word, and we thank you for your truth, and we thank you for your promise. We give you the praise in Jesus' name, the strong Son of God. Amen. If you want to pray today, the prayer partner Zoom link will be ready. If you want to pray to receive Jesus, get on that link. One of our prayer partners will lead you in how to come to know him as your Savior. If you just need prayer for whatever, get on the link. Get some prayer. But let's remember what Jesus said when he asked us to follow him in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Say it with me, would you? Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's live that this week. Love you, lifers. Let's go live in the power of the Spirit this week. Have a good one.